When we left off, we were talking about saying Rifa'enu outside of the context of Shmona Esrei. If one chooses to say Rifa'enu just as part of davening for a chola, davening for somebody who is sick. And we said that offhand, there would seem to be two obvious problems with doing so. I'm going to put the link in the chat for people to download the source sheet if they don't already have it. We said there would seem to be two problems. Problem number one, saying Hashem's name for nothing would be a bracha she'ena tzricha. It's a bracha that is unnecessary, which you're not supposed to say. We noted the question of whether the Rambam believes it's actually a biblical violation of lo sisa, or whether this is a rabbinic violation, but either way, we don't do that normally. As well as is this degrading to Shmona Esrei. So we saw the Nishmas Avram, we started to see the Nishmas Avram, who said what we intuitively understand, which is, no, you shouldn't be able to say Rifa'enu. You want to daven for somebody who's sick, you could say Tehillim, you could say Mishaberach, but Rifa'enu really belongs in Shmona Esrei. But the part at the end, which I really didn't want to rush, is where he quotes the view of the Chavos Das, which seems to say that, yeah, you could say Rifa'enu if you feel like it. Stam. And that's really what we're up to. So where, if you look on the source sheet, I gave you the reference, you want page 145, 146 or so in the PDF for the Nishmas Avram. It's the middle of the paragraph. It's not the beginning of the paragraph anymore. It's where he says, Ach hine ra'isi shekosev hachavas das. Right, do people have that? So in my edition, which admittedly is the third edition, it's the third paragraph. The paragraph itself starts with the words Ma'yi Yehadin.
Yes.
So in the middle of that paragraph, it's towards the beginning of the paragraph, Ach hine ra'isi. That's what you're looking for. Clear? So he says, after having said that, no, it doesn't sound like you should be able to say Rifa'enu, we're in the Nishmas Avram in Kutta Zayin. He says, Hine ra'isi shekose v'chavas das. I saw that the Chavas Das said, v'zeh l'shono, and here is his language. He's talking about somebody who isn't sure whether he said Shema. So he says, v'af de besafei kara kriya Shema, eino chozer v'kore, l'man damar kriya Shema derabanan v'brachas tav chafalav. He says, according to the view that the obligation to say Shema is actually rabbinic, which is its own discussion, but according to the view that it is rabbinic, so that if you're not sure whether you said it or not, you don't go back. Humitam de kriya shma adaita de chov isura isbe. The reason not to go back and say it is because saying shma as though it were obligatory when it's not is prohibited. Kimo b'safek hispalal eino chozer umispalal. Like someone who's not sure whether he said Shmona Esrei does not go back and say Shmona Esrei, because you're adding to the Torah by claiming that you're doing something that's obligatory when in fact you're not. Because of Arash Hatam, and the Rush wrote on that, this is still the Chavas Das talking. He says, Avda mispalel adam kol hayom kulo b'taras nedava. Even though you're allowed to daven all day long, calling it a voluntary tefillah, I'm allowed to say Shmona Esrei repeatedly. It's not necessarily a good idea, but I could, theoretically, as long as I know I'm not doing this as an obligation, I'm just doing this because my heart is full of a desire to daven to Hashem, so I'm going to say it again. And we say that you can do that as long as you should have some kind of a new thought in your Shmona Esrei. You shouldn't just repeat with the same ideas and everything that you did before. But he says, even though you're allowed to say Shmona Esrei over and over through the day as a voluntary thing, Mikol makom b'safek hispalel, if you're not sure whether you daven, eino chozer umispala, you don't do it again. De tefila adaita dechov isure isbe, because for you to do it as though it were an obligation, that is prohibited. That's the Baltosif problem. V'cheinu b'kriya shma, and the same thing is true for shma. Avta mutter likros kriya shma b'chol kol hayom b'toras nedava, even though you could say shma all day long as a voluntary thing. Mikomakom besafek asur, kemo besafek hispal. If you're not sure whether you're obligated and you're doing it to try to fulfill an obligation, then you don't do it. It's like with Shmona Esrei. And then he gets to the point that's relevant for us. V'chein hu b'chol ha-brachos, and so too for all brachos. De'adaita de'nedava, doing it as a voluntary thing. Mutar levarech, you're allowed to make the bracha ulahodos and to thank Hashem. Afilu b'haskara shmo yisbarach, even mentioning Hashem's name. K'moshe mutar b'shmona esrei brachos lehispalel b'taras nedava. Just like you can say the 18 brachos of shmona esrei as a volunteer thing. Ve'adaita dechov asur afilu below haskara shmo, whereas doing it as I am obligated to do this, that's not allowed. Even if you're not mentioning Hashem's name, you wouldn't be allowed to do it. Birech alapas, barech rachmana malka diamba. Like if somebody said a bracha before eating bread in Aramaic, blessed be the master of the world. He never used Hashem's name, the proper Hebrew version of it. Yatza, he fulfilled his obligation in the bracha. Ubesafek asur lebarech afilu b'chiyagavna. But if you're not sure whether you made a bracha or not, we wouldn't let you make the bracha even in Aramaic. In other words, saying Hashem's name or not saying Hashem's name isn't the make or break. That isn't what matters to us. So he says, therefore, saying Rifa'enu or any other bracha as an additional bracha, but saying, well, I won't say God's name, he says is actually meaningless. That doesn't make a difference. The bottom line is, you don't say brachos as I want to make this bracha in order to fulfill my obligation if you're not obligated in it. That's a basic principle, unless you say, I'm doing it as a voluntary bracha. Then you can do it. So the point for us is that he's saying you are allowed to make brachos as you choose, apparently including Rifa'enu, as long as you know I'm not doing it as an obligatory thing. That's all that we require for you. Are we clear?
Yeah, isn't it always when if you're going to say Rifa'enu with the Yivratzon Hasar Shema Nesrei, it's voluntary. It's not. I'm obligated to do this. It's in your mind.
But that's a wild idea. Until I read this, I would have thought it's a slam dunk. You're not allowed to do that. You can't use the language of Rifa'enu. You could say Mishaberach. You can't say Rifa'enu. Rifa'enu is in the context of Shmona Esrei alone. And that's what the Nishmas Avram thought. Until he quoted the Chavos Das, who doesn't seem to agree.
So usually when we say you don't say Rifa'enu, we just say the Yivratzon, that's an issue.
Yeah.
That's not really part of Shmona Esrei, is it?
Correct.
So,
correct.
Okay.
So he says, Umitam Zeh, and for this reason, still the Chavos Das talking, Nira lelidon zechus al haomer b'ma'amados u'bakashos baruch atah Hashem. He says, I now have a justification for people who say baruch atah Hashem when they're adding voluntary requests of Hashem outside of the context of Shmona Esrei. Didavka derech chov aser. It's only when you do it as an obligation that you're not allowed to do that. Da'achazina da'harbe piyutim uzmiros. He says, we have a lot of poems and a lot of songs that were established, nisyastu v'niskinu b'lashon bracha v'hoda, that have expressions of bracha and thanks, b'azkara shemo, mentioning Hashem's name, u'mahefreshesh ben baruch Hashem u'ben baruch atah Hashem. What's the difference whether you say baruch Hashem and baruch atah Hashem? Adkan l'shono shel Chavos Das. That, he says, is the end of the text from the Chavos Das, which just, you know, blew everything up and said, nope, you could say refo'enu. So he writes, when the Chavos Das says, sure, go ahead, you're allowed to do this, to make these brachos, the implication is you can just say Rifa'enu alone. You could even end Baruch Atah Hashem. If you're doing it for somebody who's sick, that's what emerges. Yeah. Ado and the whole bit. You got it. Wild. But then he says, don't get carried away. Yeah. We're now at the paragraph, for those who may have lost track of where we were in the Chavos Das, it's the paragraph that starts with the word, and I'm putting the link again in the chat, Ach Kasavli. He gets to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's response to this idea of the Chavos Das. He says, Ach kasavli agon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal. Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote to me, Choshvani shegam haChavos Das modeh. I think even the Chavos Das, who is the most lenient view we've ever seen, even he would agree, Shem omer mamash benusach shel bracha, that if you actually use the text of the bracha of Shmona Esrei, dechashiv al kopanim kemosif al hakrios, he says at the least, That would be the equivalent of a person who says, you know what, I'm going to daven Shmona Esrei, and instead of just kneeling and bowing at the points where we traditionally do, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham, you know, Modim, things like that, I'm going to do more bowings. I feel like doing more bowings. We say you're not supposed to do that. So he says that at the least, that's what this should be considered like. You're not supposed to add bowings because it looks like you're degrading the obligatory ones. He says, you can't seriously tell me that he thinks you could just say 100 brachos every hour, random brachos, just like, I feel like thanking Hashem for something. Like, we don't do that. That's not so. Niskaven rak al ha'omrim shekol hanusach hu shel tefila ubakasha. She'ein ligor gam alachos min baruch atah Hashem. Avalo she'ein mutar lomar shma koleinu o refa'einu benusach shematbeya habracha. Rosh Hashanah Zalman said, you want to know what the Chavos Da'as was permitting? He was permitting you to make up a bracha and say at the end, baruch atah Hashem. If you said, I'm really grateful for the fact that my exam went well today, so I am going to make up a bracha that speaks to Hashem having helped me with my exam, and I'm going to conclude Baruch Atah Hashem. So don't say Chonin Adas, because now you're back into that. But he says you could say something in the manner of prayer and use Hashem's name. That's the novelty, which frankly is enough of a novelty for me that I can just create tefillah.
It's a great cooler than.
Yeah, and to a certain extent, yes. Right? It's sort of out of the frying pan into the fire, right? So you told me I can't use the bracha Shmoneh Esrei, but I'm allowed to make up my own brachos.
Because
like, why is that better?
Right?
Yeah, because it's not Shmoneh Esrei. Correct. Right. It's wild. I agree with you. Yeah.
Is it possible he's saying you just need to, you can use the same format, the same thought, just make your own words?
Yeah.
And stick it in?
Yeah, yeah.
In
but
words,
I still think that's why.
Professionally, I'm Israel, but you change it around a little bit.
Yeah. It's still wild, no?
Thank you, Hashem, for filling my tummy. Baruch Atah Hashem.
Yeah, no joke. I mean, you'll want to do that after you eat, because then you have a question about making Birchas Hamazon. Yeah.
But also, what's strange about it is also, like, aren't they worried about the possibility of Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala? I mean, why would you adopt to do that?
Well, they're saying it's not Levatala. This is not in vain. I agree with you. This is a really interesting idea. And when I say interesting, you understand what I mean when I say this is interesting. This is hard to grasp. So then he goes on to quote his Rebbe Rav Neuwirth, who tries to bring a proof from the Mishnah Brura. V'shamati, the paragraph starts V'shamati, Mimoi v'rabi hagon v'shua Neuwirth shlita. She'ev shalahavi raya ledin shal ha'chavaz das, me'a Mishnah Brura, you might be able to support the Chavaz Das on this, from the Mishnah Brura. Shall din shall a Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch writes the following, brachos shall Rosh Hashanah v'yom ha-kippur ma'achvos zu et zu. The Shulchan Aruch says, when you do Musaf Shmona Esrei, you need all of the brachos of Shmona Esrei. You can't do one and not another. So he writes, v'zel Hashanah, mashma de b'sha'ar yamos Hashanah, that means, since you only said this for Rosh Hashanah, that you need all the brachos of Shmona Esrei, so the implication is that random day, I don't know, the second of Adar Sheni, im yodea bracha achas, if you only know one bracha of Shmona Esrei, yomra, say it, ve'ein ma'akvot zu et zu, and they don't, you don't say, well, you can't make that bracha because you don't know all the other brachas. That's a statement that he makes in the Shulchan Aruch. That's a Shulchan Aruch statement. So a person who says, you know, I don't have a sitter with me, I don't know Shmona Esrei by heart, I only know two brachos. So say two brachos. That's what he says. As long as it's not Rosh Hashanah, you're okay. Va'ayim b'bir halacha. See the bir halacha. Shekasamnu digamla magen avram. Hu rak rachme ba'alma. Aval eno yotze klal bazeh. He says, even within this, it doesn't mean that you're actually yotze a bracha of Shmona Esrei by doing that. It just means you said a bracha, but Shmona Esrei did not work. Because we say with Shmona Esrei, even if you skip one bracha, you weren't Yotze. Right? Well, you hit Barech Aleinu. Guy doesn't know, do I say B'Sein Talmud or do I say B'Sein Bracha? I don't know, I'll just keep on going. Just skip Barech Aleinu. That doesn't work. You weren't Yotze Shmona Esrei.
Maybe he brought Yom Kippur because it's such a tough well, if I leave out something, I don't know all of Yom Kippur. Or Yom
right, so the question is, why did they, I mean...
But not to say that it expands to all tefillah, it doesn't expand to other tefillah.
I understand what you're saying.
But Shem Yom Kippur, because that's the difficult one. We don't know by heart. We know all the other tefillahs by heart. We don't know that because we only see it
right.
Once a year as opposed to saying it three times a year.
Right, no, I understand what you're saying. Right now, this is the Bi'ur HaLacha talking, and this is his read. So he says that it doesn't mean to be yotze. It just means you can say these brachos. That you can do. But if you miss the bracha in Shmona Esrei, we say tzarach lachzor. You have to go back and say it again. V'lomar kulan and say all of them. Kisei der shenizkenu in the order that it was established for Shmona Esrei. V'imblav ena yotze b'zayidei tefila b'kosh kein b'zay. And if not, you're not yotze Shmona Esrei if you miss a bracha. So certainly your individual bracha set out of context does not count as saying anything of Shemona Esrei, it's just random bracha. But the point being, Rav Neuwirth says, this proves that once again, you are able to say a bracha of Shemona Esrei. Right? Rav Neuwirth is showing you, despite Rav Shlomo Zalman, this is going to be my second time today that Rav Neuwirth is disagreeing with Rav Shlomo Zalman. That's most unusual. He's Talmud Muvak of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. But in my shiur at Stern this morning, Rav Neuwirth disagreed with something from Shlomo Zalman, and now he's disagreeing again. And he's saying here, Rav Shlomo Zalman did not like this idea of the Chavos Das. He said that wasn't what we were meant to extrapolate from the Chavos Das. And Rav Neuwirth says, actually, no. I think this actually could support the Chavos Das. The fact that we're willing to say that you can make a bracha, it won't count as Shmona Esrei, but you're able to make it as a bracha. But then he says, Ach domani sheyesh lachalek. But I think there is room to distinguish between this business of the Mishnah Brura and what the Chavos Das was saying. V'lomar she'adin shel Mishnah Brura legabei adam she'adayin lo hispala klal. The Mishnah Brura is talking about somebody who hasn't davened yet at all. He doesn't know how. He doesn't know the Shmona Esrei. Ach gam eino yodei es kol Shmona Esrei brachos el rak achas men. He doesn't know Shmona Esrei. He only knows one bracha. Gam yachal omra karach mebialma, and he's saying you can say that bracha as a general appeal to Hashem. That's not the same thing as somebody who knows Shmona Esrei and in fact has said Shmona Esrei, saying, you know, I'm in the mood to say Shema Kolena right now. I'm in the mood to say Hashivenu Avinu L'Sarasecha right now. I think I'm just going to go into it like that. He says I don't think the Mishnah Berurah was going there. That's Chavos Das territory. That's not Mishnah Berurah territory. Rishon Zalman said, no kidding. He said, yeah, you can't bring any proof from there. That's a different story. There's no room to extrapolate from there. And then he concludes by saying, he quotes the Taz, and he quotes the Chazon Ish, who disagree with the Chavos Das, and say, don't say brachos for nothing, even if it's not a violation of lo sisa on a biblical level. Don't mess. Just don't do it. That's their position, and that's what he concludes with in the rest of the seif here. So I don't want to go through it just because there's so much else that we want to talk about. But yeah, he then counters the permission of the Chavos Das. So the upshot of it is, the conclusion is, don't say Refa'inu. Just don't say Refa'inu. You want to say some other tefillah and say throw in Hashem's name? Apparently, there's grounds to do that. But Refa'inu, leave that for the Chavos Das.
You could say the Yehi Ratzon
part. Yeah, you could say the Yehi Ratzon part with Hashem's name. That part you could. Clear? Good? Okay. So now we move on to talk about whom we daven for. So this is a very interesting discussion. If you take a look, we're still in the Nishmas Avraham, but now we're in the next bit, Kuf Yud Tes. And specifically, Kuf Yud Tes Aleph, where he says, Kosev HaMishneh Brura. So it is the second paragraph in Kuf Yud Tes Aleph. Okay, you see that? Okay. Everyone online have it? I hope. So the first question we're going to look at is a very interesting question, which I admit I had not thought was a question at all, but that's why we learned Torah. He says, what about saying Refa'enu, saying the Yehi Ratzon, and including a name of somebody who's not sick, but as a preventative thing? like, Hashem, I'd like you to protect that person, that they shouldn't become sick. So he doesn't like you doing that. So there. Kosev HaMishnah Brura, the Mishnah Brura wrote, Ayin b'pri megadim, shedavka im hayo lo chole mevakesh alav rachamim. He says, in the event that you have somebody where, yeah, you want page 148, that's correct. Okay. So he says, the Mishnah Brura writes, according to the Prima Gadim, Shadavka im hayol ochola mevakesh olav rachamim. If you have somebody who's actually ill, then you can insert their name in Rifoenu. Aval eno rashe levakesh rachamim bebracha me emtsaios al ha'asid shelo yechale. You're not allowed during the intermediate brachas of Shemona Esrei to insert a tefillah to protect somebody from becoming sick. Masha'enkeim b'shamei tefillah, as opposed to Shema Koleinu, afilo al ha'asid rashi levakesh. Shema Koleinu, you could also daven for somebody for their future. I thought that was wild. That person doesn't belong in Rifa'enu. Like, we're keeping you out of Rifa'enu. You have to be sick in order to get into Rifa'enu.
Well, I guess it's not relevant to the topic. Like,
yeah.
Not getting sick is not really what Rifa'enu is about.
He says you're allowed to say it in Shema Tefillah.
Yeah, you can ask for protection. You just can't put it in Rifa'enu. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I hear what Dr. Block is saying, that it's al tiftach pelasatan to put them into that by saying Rifa'enu, saying heal this person.
So preventive health doesn't fit under healing.
So that's the interesting thing, because for certain purposes it does.
Well, why? You're not sick.
Right. For certain purposes it does qualify. This idea of protecting somebody's health is significant.
Well, during COVID, it would be.
So, well, there you get into another question. I'm going to come to your question in a minute. But as an example, on Shabbos, we know that if a person is a chola she'ein bo sakana, a person is genuinely ill, like their whole body is in pain or they're bedridden, they're allowed to take medication. That's the halacha. So what if you have somebody who feels a migraine coming on? A migraine, once they have it, will qualify as chol hashem bo sakana. But right now, they don't have it yet. They feel it coming on. They could take medication that will forestall it. Are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? The answer is yes. You're able to do that in order to prevent it from developing. Why? Because if we don't want you to be in this state on Shabbos, obviously, if we can prevent it from happening, then we'd rather do that. But it overrides the gezeira for medication on Shabbos, because the preventive medicine is important. We want to keep the person from being sick in the first place.
Right, but not if he's afraid that he may get a migraine and he doesn't have any symptoms.
Right, no, that's true. That's true. Yeah. But
and
that...
this person is usually a vada. If he's got an aura, he knows right away that this aura is going to go on to a major migraine headache.
Right. So this leads to the question, though, that Dr. Block is leaning towards, which is, there's preventative over here, guy who's healthy and just wants to not get sick. There's the person who's already ill over there, but there's a gray area in between. What if there's a vulnerability to getting sick, such as there's a plague going on and people are getting sick? Or what if the person was ill and is vulnerable to relapse? Right? You have somebody who went through chemo and whatever it was, but for 5 years they're considered to need special tests and whatever it is, because we're afraid that something's going to show up. So could we put them in Rifa'enu? You know, the argument could well be they are considered sick until they're considered better.
I want to know what category that is. Is that somebody who's in remission for 5 years and says, keep me on the Rifa'enu list, is that preventative, or is that they're not sick anymore?
Well,
right.
In oncology, there is somebody who's considered cured. And in each disease, it's a certain amount of time. And it's a statistical calculation. So if you're in remission for 5 years, let's say for leukemia, I'm just picking one out of that, you're considered cured. Whereas for who knows what, what's that?
A Schmincke's tumor.
A Schmincke's tumor, yeah, then you need 12
what
years.
Somebody, an individual who's had different cancers, and
I'll tell you what. What we're going to do next is actually going to contribute to answer your question, although from an unexpected direction.
So this is a statistic that I never knew before. People who've had cancer, there's a 10 to 16% chance that they can get a different cancer.
Yeah.
Which I never
I didn't know the numbers, but I've heard the concept.
I just read it today. Mm. It's just apropos.
So,
it's strange.
Okay, let's not depress people. But take a look at... Take a look at the next piece in the Nishmas Avram. Just jumping over that one sentence, which we actually did last week or the week before, the one about when a person davens for their parent who's ill, do they say Abba Mari or not? Which he actually has a discussion of in another section, Yoredeya. He discusses it a little bit more at length, but not for right now. Kosev ha'orchos chayim v'zeleshona. The case he's going to discuss is a case of where I don't know if the patient is still alive. You know, an issue that was much more of an issue in their day without, you know, immediate telecommunications. So you were davening for somebody, you traveled to another town, you have no idea if they're still alive, are you allowed to insert their name in Rafa'enu? And the reason why I say this also leads to an answer for us is because we're asking the question, but on the positive side. There where he's worried, maybe the person is no longer alive. I'm saying maybe the person is no longer sick. I don't know. For 5 years, I don't know if this is an ill person or if it's a healthy person. I just don't know. So look what he says. Kosev ha'orchos chayim, v'zeleshona. Ayin b'sefer ma'orei or. See the work, ma'orei or, chelek be'er, sheva, da'chav zayin, but alav shakosav. Al'chole shelo b'mekomo. You have somebody who has a patient who is not in his place. He's not physically in the same place. She'esh chashash tefilas shav. Chas v'shalom. And there's a concern for it being a prayer in vain, and you understand what he means by that. Nira be'eno mutal al eres devai. He says, if the person is not on his deathbed, eres devai is a phrase that we're using here, the bed of grief. So he says, shari, you would be allowed to daven for him, assuming he wasn't on his deathbed. Toch mahalach yom, as long as you're within 1 day's travel. Why? She'em mesukan chas v'shalom shchiach she'yishma me'ovrei orach. Because in the event that, God forbid, things get really bad, you'd hear about it from people who are traveling. U'b'shchiv meramamash, and if the person that was actually, for all appearances, dying, then afilu b'makomo asur. Then, even if you're in the same location, you wouldn't be allowed to include them in Shmona Esrei. Rak b'yedias sh'amuetes, unless you had very recent knowledge to know that he was still alive. V'ra'isi ma'asev in his karti halach, I saw this once happen, and I remembered that's the halach. V'chein al me'uberes sh'makom rachok, and the same thing would be true if a woman is pregnant and she's far away, and now I'm davening for her to have a good birth, but, you know, the kid's already out. So there was one, he says, I saw some writer say, he doesn't tell you who, that maybe you could daven conditionally. If this person is still alive and sick, then please heal them. If he's not, then, you know, forget I said anything. So he says, velo ya'us. He says, I don't think so. Okay, however, machvarta lispal al stam. Shelo ya'una rala ploni. Dishach gam b'meis. But he says, you know what you can do? Daven that nothing bad should happen to the person, which is relevant for people who are alive, and it's relevant for people who are not alive also, that no bad thing should happen to him. Instead of making it a Rifa'enu thing, make it a Shema Koleinu thing, and just say, Hashem, please protect him from any harm, whatever that means. In whatever context. Akan l'shona. V'ayin b'shari tshuva b'shem hashut nachlas shiva. He says the following was done by the Nachlas Shiva. The Nachlas Shiva was a very major posig in, I think, his 17th century. He's best known not for this. He's best known for writing up all of the templates for shtaros, for legal documents that we use, with a lot of insight and explanation for the ins and outs, like everything from the different forms of the ksuba to, you name it, different shtaros. There's a sefer called Nachlas Shiva, that's by him, that is a great resource. So he has the following story. Sha'asa ma'isa levarech ha'chole b'shabbos v'beis ha'knesses. He had a bracha made for a patient on Shabbos in shul. Ava b'shachole lo ha'yasham be'ir. Even though the patient was not in the city. Rak b'yishuv sh'arachok mahalach sha'aviyoser. He was in some town somewhere that's over an hour away. Udalo ki likute maharil, shekasav she'en levarech ki she'enu be'ir. Someone here? I thought I heard something also.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Wind is blowing a lot of things.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't hurt to check, I guess. But so he says, unlike the Maharil, who wrote she'en levarach kishe'enu be'ir, he said you don't make the bracha if he's not in the city. Deshema meis ohivri, maybe the guy died, or maybe he got better. Ayn sham begin dafli l'nichazakin ochola nos no la v'chezka shukayam, and he gives you comparison to the laws of gittin, where somebody is supposed to deliver a get, but he doesn't know if the husband is still alive. So he says, okay, so you give the get on the assumption that the husband is alive, and then we'll work out the Yibum issues later. But you deliver the get in such a case. So he says, you're able to err on the side of, yeah, hopefully this person is still alive. The Nachla Shiva was Mekil, in other words. He was lenient. He says, you don't have to have immediate knowledge that this person is alive. You could go with the tefillah. Yeah. So this is a very interesting thing. I think you'd be better off putting the person into Shema Kolenu and davening as recommended, to just daven that he'd be saved from any harm that the Orchos Chaim recommended. And I think you're best off that way. Clear?
No. So what do you do if you have a
picture? Wait, one second. Seymour, you were going to ask a question? No, go ahead.
So what do you do, halakha
l'maaseh?
You have a person who
can't breastfeed. Oh, hold on. So, hey, Seymour, hang on one second. Yeah,
so you have a young woman who had breast cancer.
Yeah.
She got chemotherapy. She got better. Then she had stem cell. And then she got, and now she's doing okay.
Yeah.
What do you just presume that she got the stem cell and now she'll do okay for the rest of her life? Or you still have her down and you run some?
So you ask the doctors.
What?
You ask the doctors. Meaning what
the
are they can?
There's no guarantee that person.
No, I'm not asking for a guarantee. I'm asking for odds. I'm asking for some sense of what things are.
So-called cure.
You get no guarantees.
When are you called?
Doctor gives
cure?
You a guarantee. You go to a different doctor.
Okay, so fine. So the statistics are not there, I guess.
So if you're talking about a treatment that's new enough that we just don't know, then I would err on the side of caution. I would keep davening. Yeah. Seymour, you were going to ask.
For preventive, to be prevented, would that refrain?
Sorry, you're fading in and out. If I understood your question correctly,
I said someone trying to take a bull, take one close step ahead.
Sorry, I'm not following. Can you write it in the chat? If you write it in the chat, maybe I'll be able to answer it that way. Okay, so if you just write it into the chat, and then I can answer. So if he writes it in, then I'll address it. Okay, that's in terms of including people who either don't need it anymore, we think might not need it anymore. Never needed it, perhaps, and it was purely preventative, or the chola who might not be alive anymore. Now we get to a new case. What do we do with the person who is chronically ill, and there's no anticipation that this is getting better anytime soon, or the person who is terminally ill, and again, we don't think that that we can expect that anything is going to get better anytime soon, or period. So what do we do in that case? So there's a lot to be said on this front, and I gave you quite a bit to work with on the source sheet. We're not going to finish it all today, but we'll start it today, and then, God willing, next week we'll conclude it. So we have a basic principle, which is we don't daven for miracles, right? That's a basic. I have a couple of shiurim, I think, on YU Torah, where I talked about this issue there. But here I'm going to add a few sources that are relevant for our discussion now. This comes from, most clearly, a Mishnah in the end of Brachos. If you take a look at source Gimel. Mivarech al hara'a me'ein al hatova ve'al hatova me'ein al hara'a. You're supposed to bless Hashem for the bad, that which we experience as bad, just like we do for the good, and for the good, just as we do for the bad. Vatsoik l'sha'avar harezo tfilas shav. And if somebody cries out about something that already happened, that is a prayer in vain. We do not daven for time travel. If it already happened, it's too late, and now the Mishnah gives us examples. Haisa ishta mi'uberes. Guy's wife is pregnant. Va'omer yihi ratzon shetelet ishti zachar. May it be God's will that my wife give birth to a boy. Leave aside whether that's a good thing to ask for in general, whether you should be asking for gender and whether you should be preferring boys. Those are both interesting discussions, not for right now. But the guy did it. Hare zo tfilas shav. That is a prayer in vain. The gender is determined already. Hayababa derech, traveling on the road. Sorry?
I'm making a modern.
Okay, I'm going to leave that out. Hayababa derech v'shama called tzavacha ba'ir. Somebody is traveling on the road, and he hears an outcry in the city. Va'omer, and he says, Yiratzon shalo tehe v'soch beisi. And he says, may it be God's will that that should not be in my house. So, good luck, pal. Either it is or it isn't. Hare zot filas shav. That is a prayer in vain. That's the Mishnah. There are a couple of other examples of this around Shas. I brought you one other one in Source Dalid. Haholech lamud es gorno. Somebody wants to go measure his granary. He wants to measure the grain that he got, that he brought in. Omer, he says, before going in, Yiratzam afanach Hashem alokeinu shetishlach bracha v'maseh yodeinu. God, please send bracha to the work of our hands. Hischil lamud, he started to measure. Omer, then he says, Baruch HaSholeach bracha b'kriyazeh. Blessed be the one who sends blessing to this bale, this pile of grain. Madad, he measured it. V'achar kach birech, and then he made that bracha. Harizet filashav. That's in vain. L'vishayna bracha mitzuya lo b'davar ha-shakov, lo b'davar ha-madud, lo b'davar ha-manoi, ela b'davar ha-samoi min ha-ayin. Because you don't find bracha for that which has already been weighed, measured, counted, it's too late. You know what the number is. Why this is so is a whole discussion that I'm not going into right now. But the point is, you can't daven for things that would be miraculous. Not just time travel, like the examples in Source Gimel, but even not time travel. Just, yes, I have this amount of grain. I know I have, you know, whatever it is, 3 cubic feet of grain. And I want to now have 4 cubic feet of grain, so I daven, and poof, it's now going to be 4 cubic feet of grain. That doesn't, you don't daven for that. That's not a thing. Now, the truth of the matter is that we do have cases of davening for miracles in the Gemara, right? If you think of all the times when there's a drought, and then they send somebody to daven for rain, right? Choni Hama'agil, Abba Chilkia, like they do. They do daven for rain. So I once thought that maybe the answer for that is that that maybe because the withholding of rain is what's viewed as the miracle. In other words, Hashem is punishing us by withholding rain. We're asking Hashem to restore the natural order and provide rain. Maybe. I think that's maybe a little too creative. But maybe that's the justification for doing so. I give you another example, though. Take a look at Source Hay. This is very timely, right? It is, tonight is Beis Adar Beis. So, the Rama says, he, in context, that's the laws of Hanukkah, but the same thing will apply for Purim. Yesh Omrim, some say, Kishashachach al hanisim virkas hamazon, when if a person forgets al hanisim in benching, Kishamagia la harachaman, when he gets up to the harachaman, Yomer, he should say, Harachman yasa lanu nisim v'niflaos, kishem shasisa avosena b'yamem ahim bazman hazeh. May God perform miracles for us, as you did for our ancestors. So are you not davening for miracles? Right? How does a person say that harachman? You should be careful not to miss al hanisim, because you could end up davening for miracles inappropriately. And that's what it would seem. So the Shari Tshuva on that, Rav Chaim Margolios, quotes the Bechor Shor to justify in that case, to say that either that's talking about davening for a communal benefit as opposed to a personal one, and therefore the rules are different, or you're asking for a concealed miracle, not a public miracle, meaning the Nisim of Chanukah and Purim are not open public miracles. So maybe that's okay, as opposed to, I know how much grain I have, and now I'm expecting to come back and find more.
Yeah, it looks like, in this case, he's asking for to be zochet to have miracles in general, not asking for a specific miracle, as opposed to please multiply the grain that's right in front of me now, which would be very specific and extremely unlikely.
Right. Right.
Yeah, to be zochah to miracles like in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, you know.
Something like that, yeah. Something.
So that's his immunity. That's what he said. The first answer is just in general.
Right. So also, but also there, you could say that's a concealed miracle. It doesn't. It isn't obvious as an ace. Maybe that's also a justification. Plus, he's now saying that it's okay where it's a communal one, right? So that's also communal. So maybe that's another reason why it's okay. But in general, poskim say you're not supposed to daven for a miracle. That's the basic principle. If you take a look at source Vav, Reb Chaim Ibn Attar, best known for the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, well, no, best known for being a focus of our Sfaradi month back in November, but secondarily known for being the author of the Or HaChaim. So he says, Tarach Tana Lemisni Zed the Osir Lispala Lefnei Hashem Tfila Deyevsher Lekaim Alo Hashem. He says, the Tana went out of his way, meaning in the Mishnah in Source Gimel, he went out of his way to teach that you're not allowed to daven a prayer which Hashem can't fulfill. Hashem can fulfill anything. But Ulazen Nami Ka'amar Besamuch, and that's also what it means when it says regarding Leah, because the Gemara asks a question. You're telling me I can't daven about the gender of my kid, but don't we have this whole medrash about Leah changing the gender of, or swapping somehow, Dina and Yosef? Right? Leah's pregnant. She knows she's going to have a boy. She says, oh no, that means that Rachel won't even have two boys out of the 12 because she knows they're supposed to be 12. So she davens, and either Dina is swapped with Yosef. Yosef was inside of Leah and ended up being swapped for Dina, or something happened to change the gender of Dina inside of her to make her a girl instead of being a boy. However you read that. But the Gemara asks, so apparently you can daven, because Leah did. So the Gemara there gives two answers. The first answer in the Gemara, which he's about to bring, is Ein Mazkirin Maisin Isim. We don't mention miracles. That's the Gemara's first answer to how it is that that could happen, is we don't mention miracles. Now, I don't know what that means, because that isn't the whole thing. That's the point of our conversation, right? You don't daven for miracles. But that's the first answer. The second answer is that was before 40 days. The idea being that before 40 days, it's not really set. Yes, that does not fit our knowledge of embryology and genetics and all of those things, but that's the statement. That's their offer. Is maybe before 40 days, you can, you know, it is somehow not set yet. But the point that Reb Chaim Ibn Attar makes, he focuses on the first answer. He says, when it says, Ein mazkirin maisa nisim, we don't mention miracles, what does that mean? If the Gemara meant, well, that story was different because it was a miracle, then it shouldn't have said, we don't mention miracles. It should have said, that was a miracle. Inami, Maisa Nisim Sha'ani, or it should have said, miracles are different. So it doesn't mean, when it says, Ein Mazkirin Maisa Nisim, it does not mean that was a miracle. Ela HaKavana Lomar De'ein LeHa'adam Lishol. What the Gemara is saying is, yeah, but you're not supposed to ask for it. What Leah asked for, I don't know, but you're not supposed to ask for it. That's what the Gemara was saying, and that's what he says. He says a Jew is not supposed to daven for a miracle. The Gvuros Ari, which is the Shagas Aryeh, has a note on the Gemara in Tanis Daf Yutes Amud Aleph. Take a look at Sur Zion. Yardu Kishamim Berevia Rishona Vizaru Velot Zamchu. If rain comes at the first period of anticipated rainfall, so you get the rain you're expecting, and they plant, and the stuff doesn't grow. Inami tzamchu v'chazu v'nishtanu, or it started to grow, and then it went bad. Masri'in aleihen miyad. So immediately we start to be masriya, whether masriya means to daven or to blow shofar is its own discussion. But the point is, we start davening if the stuff we planted either isn't coming up or is coming up in some deformed way. Amar Rav Nachman, davka nishtanu, aval yav shulo. Rav Nachman says, you can do that if it's coming up in an altered form. Because there's a possibility that it could still be straightened out. But if it dried out, then no. So the Gemara says, I could have told you that. Pshita, that's obvious, Rav Nachman. Nishtanu tanan. It said, if it changed, right? It didn't say if it dried out. I knew that. Lo, sricha de akun. No, it needed to say this because of the case where it is akun. Akun means it started to grow a little bit. I added in the brackets, gadal ktsas. Mao desema aknasa milsahi kamash malan. What he's teaching me is, I might have thought if it grew a little bit and then dried out, you could still daven for it. And so he's teaching me you don't do that. So what we draw from here again is that we don't daven for a miracle. That's what the Gevurah Sari highlights here, is you're not supposed to daven for a miracle to take place, and it's even clearer in source Ches, Yerushalmi in Ta'anis. Tani, we learned Masri and Ala Ilan befroz haPesach, leboros leshichanu velemaoros befroz haAtzeres. We daven that the trees should grow well in the days leading up to Pesach. We daven that the cisterns should do well before Shavuos. So the Gemara says, Me'ata afilu yoser mikain. Since you say that in the days leading up to, you're able to daven for these things, I might think you continue to daven for it even afterwards. I can daven for the trees even after Pesach. It's just that I start before Pesach. No. Yoser mikain, maisa nisim. Davening beyond that will be davening for a miracle. To daven for rain in Eretz Yisrael after Shavuos, you're asking for a miracle. Ve'ein masri al maisa nisim. We don't do that. So again, this is another source. Another one, Rabbi Kiva Eger, who's quoting the Sefer Chasidim in source tests. Al yispalel adam lebakesh davar she'eno kfiat teva. One should not daven for something that is contra nature. Va'av she'chol is bi'ad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though God can do whatever he wants. Va'asir lehispalel she'yase lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu neis b'shinoi olam. One should not daven so that Hashem should change things, change the world. Kigon sheyotzi ilon zeh peros kodim zmano, like that a tree should produce fruit before its proper time. We don't have such a tefillah.
Yeshua did.
When he says that the sun should stop, unless you're the Ralbag and you don't believe that that's what he was asking for. Yes, Ralbag is a different shita. The Vilna Gaon in Source Yud, Shnos Elio, commenting on that Mishnah that we saw in Source Gimel, Af al hadavar sheyachol lios ela shelo al pi hateva. Even something that could physically happen, you're not asking for God to make a four-sided triangle, but it would be a miracle for it to take place. Rak al derech neis, hare zet tfilas shav. That is an empty tefillah. Rav Moshe Feinstein says it. I'm just bringing you to the present day. Rav Moshe Feinstein says it regarding the story with Leah in Source Yud Aleph. He says, Av shetirets ein mazkirin maisenisim. Even though the Gemara answered, we don't mention miracles, and he takes it not as the way that the Or Chaim took it, but he takes it the literal, like you can't invoke that because that's a miracle. Shemashmashu teretz gama mashaisa rasha ali hispalel, which seems to indicate that she was allowed to ask it because it was a miracle. Hu rak Leah she'ein dugmasa b'chol adoros. That's unique to Leah because there did no one like Leah through the generations. V'gam ulai hu mitzad din shedana. Or alternatively, she was able to do it because of the argument that she made for the sake of Rachel, that Rachel shouldn't be embarrassed and all of that. So that made her, that was her justification. V'gamba Leah sober teretz basra, and even with Leah, the second answer in the Gemara, which I added in brackets that it was before 40 days, says shelo haisa rasha, says that she wasn't allowed to daven if it was after 40. But it was okay because it was within the 40 days. So I'm making a case here that there are people who end up on our Misha Berach lists who shouldn't be on our Misha Berach lists. Right? Because we all know of cases where someone gives you a name for somebody and it's somebody who you would reach this point where you would say, this is a tefillah shav. You're davening for an out-and-out miracle. And we're getting source after source after source that seems to say, we don't daven for them. But we do. So where's the disconnect? Like, why are we doing this, right? You understand the question. Or does it mean that now someone comes to me and says, you know, Rabbi, I have a blank, fill-in-the-blank relative. They're in a terrible state. they're not conscious anymore, they're not eating, it's been 2 weeks since they last had, you know, fill in the blanks for all the different medical conditions you want to add to it to make it really, you know, feel hopeless. Am I supposed to say them? Sorry, I can't daven for them. I'll say Nishma Kolenu. Is this for real? So I bring you one last source that seems to say yes, it is, and then we have to say, okay, so now what? If you take a look at Source Yud Beis, this is Nishmas Avram in Yoredeya. I thought about giving you the link for the Nishmas Avram in Yoredeya so that you could get that PDF too, but then I figured it's just easier to just cut and paste it here. So he says the following. He's talking about, I think in context, he's talking about Bikur Cholim, visiting and looking after those who are sick. He says, Choles Sofani, a patient who is terminally ill, She'ein l'refua shum tipul avurehu, v'shesovel yisurim, where we don't have a way to treat him, and he's suffering. Ha'im mutar l'hamshich l'espalel she'ye l'refua shlema, are you allowed to daven for a refua shlema? Oh, em yesh kan inyan shel tefilas shavo bakasha l'neis, or is this a prayer in vain, asking for a miracle? I'm not getting into the question now, the person is suffering, and are you trying to extend their suffering? We'll have to talk about that also. But he says right now, just, is it a prayer in vain? Shamati ma'gon or Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, she'ein lehispala l'refua shlema al-chole kazeh. He says, or Shlomo Zalman says, we do not daven for a refua shlema for such a patient. Ki ein ze ela bakasha l'neis, you're just asking for a miracle. Ela yispalel she'ashem yisbarach barachma v'yaseh mashatov avuro v'sha'chole lo yisbol. You daven that Hashem should do what's good for this person in his great mercy and that the patient should not suffer. That's what you do. Presumably that doesn't go into Refa'enu. Right? Presumably that's a Shema Koleinu, tefillah. Clear? So here's my big question. And we're going to have Marav here in a few minutes, so we won't get through it entirely. But the big question that I would ask is this. Why can't I daven for a miracle? What's wrong with davening for an ace?
Hashem can do it.
You imagine the guy who's like, he's sliding, like a movie scene, right? He's sliding off the mountain, and he falls, and then he grabs a branch, and he's hanging onto the branch, and he davens for an ace. And Hashem says, sorry, let's do that. That's tefillah shavah. Lightning comes out and strikes him. Why? Why can't you daven for a miracle? What's wrong with that? You think of what we learn, we're told that, even if a sword is on a person's neck, al yimna adam atzom in arachmem, he's always supposed to daven. That's Chizkiyahu's line to Yeshaya. When Yeshaya says, put your house in order, Chizkiyahu says, I have a tradition from my father's father, you always daven. Well, didn't Chizkiyahu know? No, you don't. So what's going on? What are we supposed to make of this? So three potential problems with davening for a miracle. The first problem I didn't bring on the sheet here because it's less relevant for our discussion, but it's Yerushalmi and Tanis, Beis Vav, and that is that it makes you look bad. Specifically, it's a concern in public. You're going to go, lead a tefillah for something that is purely miraculous, and then you don't get answered, so it's going to make you look bad. You're not supposed to do that. It looks like you have a weak connection to Hashem. That's one. Second argument, which I did bring here, is from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and it's a very important point. Yigimel. This is Halicho Shlomo. Halicho Shlomo records the practices of Rav Shlomo Zalman. So he says, Hidrich Rabbeinu, our master accustomed us. Shalo laharbos betfilas rabim bepirsum bechule, im karnisyashu harofim milarapos es achole bedarkei ateva. If the doctors already said, we don't have anything we can do for this patient, so Rav Shlomo Zalman said you should not have a lot of public Tehillim gatherings at that point. Afilu hu gav rava, even if you're davening for a great person. V'gam yishkelu heitevim l'shano teshmo. And in parentheses he says you should also not necessarily change the person's name for that matter. Ki im lo ye'anu b'tfilasam v'lo yisrape yesh lachosh l'rifyon chas v'shalom be'inyanei emuna. Because he says there is a concern that if they are not answered with their davening, and the patient does not get better, there's a concern, God forbid, for weakening their emunah. That's the fear. You're going to weaken the emunah, the people who daven. Look, we davened, we got together, we had a big public tehillim, and the patient died. And after that happens to people a bunch of times, they stop believing that tehillim is effective. They feel like, well, I don't know, we're 0 for 10, so why am I getting together and doing this? V'horo l'sho'olim shebechi agavna yispalalu sheyitav l'chole v'yitav l'mishpachto. He says, Rav Shlomo Zalman's guidance was, you should daven that Hashem should be good to the patient and good to the patient's family. V'lo yivakshu dafka al refuaso. Don't ask for refuah per se. V'Hashem hu atov beinav yaseh. And God will do what's good in his eyes. But we don't want to diminish people's confidence in tefillah by having them daven for something that we really anticipate is not going to come true. Yeah.
So is saying tehillim the same as refuah, as refa'im?
I would think yes.
Okay. And then secondly, a lot of these tehillim things are the family themselves asking for the tehillim.
Yeah. So, right, to say to them, I'm not willing to daven. Because
they're asking, they're saying, hey, we're going to start this for you because it's right here to upset them, but they're the ones who are saying.
Right, so I think you go, and I think you participate, but you have in mind what you're davening for. That would seem to me to be the nicest way to do it. Saying to them, sorry, that's us, sir. It's just that you need lessons in bedside manner. That's not happening. That would be my inclination. I'm going to go a little bit further with Shlomo Zalman's idea next time, and then talk about, so what, you know, what do we do, which we've already seen some answers for, but there are other answers that I want to get to. And then I want to talk about the patient who's in pain, and when it's pain that we're not able to relieve, so what kind of davening do we do at that point? So we'll talk about that as well. And then we get into Berachas HaGomel, God willing. Okay? Shkayach.